The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Ro. How are you doing?
Benjamin.
Yeah, Benjamin. Exactly. Exactly.
Good in you, Benj. See, I even shorten it from Benji to Benj.
Yeah, no. Just don't drop the J, all right? I'm not a Ben. Just people need to understand that. Benji is fine. Benj, if you're close. But no Bens. That's not who I am. Just okay. FYI, so you know? So, Ro, talking about slightly more important things than how to pronounce my name, ceasefire. What's ceasefire?
Okay, so last night at around about 8 o'clock, we got an announcement from Palestinian Islamic Jihad that they had a very important announcement to make. And their announcement was the unveiling of a new rocket called the Burak 120, which they have boasted about using during the last few days of intense fighting and intense rocketing of Israel and her citizens. Now, yesterday morning at about 5:30, a ceasefire was meant to go into effect. But since that ceasefire, we have had several barrages of rockets, including at about 10 o'clock last night. It is still unclear exactly which factions are claiming responsibility for this. But in response, the Israel Air Force has struck targets in Gaza, and we are bracing for what possibly could be another round of escalation this weekend. In fact, the Friday border protests that have taken place every Friday afternoon at the border with between Gaza and Israel since March last year have been cancelled. But also on Israel's side, school has been cancelled up to places like Ashkelon and Ashdod. There has been no renewed announcement that schools have been opened in those areas as we brace for what possibly could be another tense weekend. From the RDF's perspective and from President Netanyahu speaking to his cabinet yesterday, what they are calling Operation Black Belt has, from their perspective, delivered a decisive blow to Islamic Jihad. A lot of infrastructure has been destroyed, and the Israeli Defense Forces eliminating terror cells as they are launching their rockets and mortars. So we don't exactly know who's responsible for the latest firing, but we are watching very, very carefully. One thing is very interesting is where does Hamas stand on this? And we've had different reports that Yahya Sinwar, one of the heads of Hamas, has said that, you know, we will join the fight. This statement has not been confirmed. Other statements coming out, including one to Fox News earlier this week, saying that Hamas stands shoulder to shoulder with Islamic Jihad. Again, that hasn't been confirmed in the Arab or Israeli media. I think that it's not in their best interest to have another conflagration, and also a lot of concerns as to where the street lies. Protests in northern Gaza yesterday against the ceasefire. So we don't know if whoever these factions are trying to appease the street.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're still likely to see some issues there, but hopefully things do calm down as we go into Shabbat. Ro, what else is happening in the Holy Land?
Well, this week has been taken up, as you can well expect, by the situation in the south. And I just want to share a few stories because, you know, we are Israel. And one thing that people need to understand is that even though hearing these sirens and hearing the booms and the intense pressure that these rockets put us under, we are still incredibly resilient. And I think that this is our secret weapon. And two of my favorite stories coming out of this week, one has been a safta, a granny in Sderot. I mean, Sderot is the most bunker town in the world. This is a little town that's that faces more rockets and more mortar shellings than any other in the world. But an Israeli granny noticed that the Channel 12 news crew were driving around and around and around, trying to speak to the people, trying to report the news. She was, as most Jewish sufferers are, very, very concerned that this news crew were not eating enough, and she cooked up a whole feast for them, managed to flag them down by waving a balloon, which of course for residents of the South, balloons are also a symbol of trauma these days, and managed to get the news crew to her house. And she said, you haven't eaten. I think that you need to sit down and have a meal, and once you've finished your meal, you can go back out there and carry on reporting. I mean, they were quite like taken aback, you know, that with everything that was going on, somebody who was possibly running to her shelter every couple of minutes still managed to make them quite a feast, including homemade lachmaniyot rolls from scratch, and she was not taking any no for an answer. Made them sit down, and once she was satisfied that they had enough to eat, she sent them out to report the news. And another great story coming in is Israeli Eurovision winner Netta. We all know Netta's amazing songs, Basa Sababa and Toy. Well, she's been watching the situation in the South along with the rest of us with a lot of concern, and noticed that there was a couple who had to suddenly scale back on their wedding because the home front command telling us that we can't have more than 300 of us congregating at any given time. And so she decided, well, you know, this just won't do, and summoned up her crew, and off they went down south to surprise the couple on their wedding, and she started to give them a free concert. And this to me is just supreme examples of the spirit of Israel. And let me tell you, having experienced those sirens myself this week, it's absolutely terrifying. It's awesome to see that despite all of this, there is this absolute will to live, this absolute resilience.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that one of the wedding venues up in the north, which was slightly far away from the rockets, has now given people whose weddings were cancelled due to the rocket fire free access to the venue, which I thought was also quite a nice version. Do we know what nationality these crews were that were hunted down by this Israeli sufter for the purposes of forced feeding?
Israeli Channel 12.
Ah, okay. So it wasn't like she was assaulting Scandinavians or something.
She wasn't assaulting Scandinavians, but we do have to give it up to a Fox News reporter this week who put Amnesty International on, I don't want to say blast because that has very, very difficult connotations here at the moment, but who gave Amnesty International a verbal smackdown. Amnesty International claimed that a rocket that hit a building for a human rights organization in Gaza was the IDF firing on that building. And he said, no, he says, you are lying. That was, the building was hit as a result of rockets being launched towards Israel, and that particular rocket just happened to hit that building. We are still waiting for an apology or some acknowledgement from Amnesty International, along with acknowledgement that we've had now nearly 500 rockets and mortars fired at the country. They seem to have gone eerily silent on that. But, it does show you one thing. It does show you that Israelis don't trust Amnesty International, and for good reason. And the other is that terror groups like Palestinian Islamic Jihad and others continue to fire from within their civilian infrastructure, placing both our civilians and their civilians at tremendous risk. And this is, of course, a double war crime.
Absolutely. It's a very, very serious situation. Do you have any non-missile related news for us this Friday morning, Ronnie?
Well, what has come in as quite a surprise, quite a welcome surprise, is a letter published in The Guardian in the UK yesterday, written or and signed by very, very famous people, including the famous author John Le Carré, Joanna Lumley, as many of us know her as Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous. I can't remember who she was before that. I know it's very, very famous. It, of course, will come to me at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. Tom Holland, who is Spider-Man. Majid Nawaz, who is a broadcaster in the UK, a former jihadist who is now very, very pro-Israel, and a whole lot of other famous people, including another author, Frederick Forsyth, William Boyd, and I'm a fan of Outlander. If you know who the Duke of Sandringham is, Simon Keller also signing this letter saying that they cannot vote for Labour. They appeal to people to not vote for Labour. They say that their concerns about anti-Semitism means they cannot vote for Labour, that they are very, very worried and concerned that the issue of anti-Semitism has been put aside. It's a very, very real issue. It cannot come at the or anti-Semitism and Jewish fears in Britain cannot come at the they can't be the expense of Brexit. They say while they don't endorse any particular party, that the only way or the only path to a more tolerant society must to be to encompass Britain's Jews with unwavering solidarity, and they cannot in good conscience vote for Labour. Quite a damning statement, but a very, very welcome one from all of us around the world who are very, very concerned with rising anti-Semitism that is propagated by the Labour Party in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, I must say, it's been a very interesting debate. There's a columnist in the Independent, I think, or he may be, it doesn't matter, his name is Nick Cohen. He's not Jewish, despite the surname. And he's been very, very critical of the left and Corbyn, and he's saying he's finding himself in a huge dilemmatorous position, because in England, when you vote for the person who's in your constituency. And he says in some constituencies, they just, you know, hate the Conservatives so much, and the, you know, can be like really problematic, and the Labour person who is up for potential re-election is actually a reasonable person. They're actually quite anti, Corbyn and whatever. And he says he doesn't know what to do because he would normally be a Labour voter. But now it feels like he doesn't know if he can even vote for, one of the moderate Labour people, but he doesn't feel like it can come at the expense of an extremist Conservative. All of these really interesting, and quite concerning things from someone who's really an ally of the community. He says he gets more anti-Semitic abuse than most people that are Jewish that he knows. And it's just like quite concerning and quite, but at the same time, quite encouraging that, people are coming to Jewish defense in Britain. Anyway, right. That's all we have time for today. Please keep safe and, enjoy the Shabbos project in Israel.
Well, from somebody who has tried to keep it together this week, I will be keeping it together in a few minutes, baking pink chalot in aid of cancer. But we will be joining you all in keeping it together. And happy All Shabbat Shabbos Project Shalom.
Thank you so much. Rolene Marks there. She's got her apron on and off she is going to do some baking. And now time for your news with Sanati Guma.